try to find that one topic to talk about, but I used something I had done before and kind of modified it a little bit. Does anybody, or I'm sure a lot of people, especially some of the older members, have a book or by an author by Brother Leroy Brownlow? Yes? He's written several books, and they're still very valuable books and a lot of good applications still in them. They're a little dated, right? I mean, they've been around for a long time. And the lesson I got out of this one was Do's and Don'ts for the Christian. Everybody familiar with that book? Brother Leroy Brownlow wrote a lot of good information, and again, it is still very applicable for us today. And the do's and don'ts, there are several do's and don'ts that we are charged with, yes? Things that we have to, the things we should do in order to become a better Christian, a better person, those kind of things, and things we shouldn't do, and again, to become a better Christian or a better person, or the type of person that God expects or wants us to be. So the one that I think is kind of, I think, appropriate, and it kind of sort of goes in with some of the information we had been discussing in the last several weeks when we were discussing 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and a little bit, to some degree, on our Wednesday night class when we were talking about growing our faith. I wanted to talk about Christian growth in general, a little more, maybe a little more broader application, but things I think that can help us as if we apply them to our lives. Somebody turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Everybody's probably very familiar with this verse. We'll turn there anyway. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2. And if someone else would find 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Or whoever has the first one, go ahead.
As newborn babes desire the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby.
Okay. Who has 2 Peter chapter 3? They grow. So, in a general sense, is growth commanded? Yes. We are to grow. It says it right here, right? God expects us to grow. Okay, so let's pull it back a little bit. In most cases, and I don't think I'm wrong by saying this, but in most cases, a failure to grow, and this is just in general, the world, whatever, a failure to grow kind of goes against the laws of nature and even the laws of God, right? Most things grow, whether it's humans, whether it's plants, whether it's animals, most things grow. Otherwise, there's some, you know, growth is normal, or there's some issue preventing that. Growth is normal, and barring some unforeseen circumstance or cause, everything will grow. When we plant a seed, okay, what happens to that seed? It grows, right? We put it in the ground, put the dirt on top of it, and it grows, unless, again, something happens to it. And it grows and grows and grows and grows until when? It's full grown, right? It becomes an adult, for lack of a better term, right? It grows, okay? Same things for an animal, right? When we buy a puppy or a little kitty, right, we nurture it and it grows into a full-grown dog. Now, there are different sizes and different shapes and all those things, but it still becomes an adult. It becomes full-grown, okay? Think about it as us as parents. Those of us with children or had children, if our child wasn't growing according to the norm, whatever that is, we would be concerned, right? We would wonder why, or we would take them to the doctor. But in most cases, we want to make sure that child grows up and to be an adult. So growth is normal. Growth is something God has set in motion for the world, the plants, the animal kingdom, those kinds of things, that it will happen. We will grow. Okay? But would you suggest, or would you agree, that growth requires, or there are requirements for growth? Yes? What would some of those be? Food? Water? Air? Exercise? That's a good one, yes? Somebody said something else? Sunlight? Rest is important. Shelter. Unless you're the big giant oak tree, right? Anything else? Some of those I have written down, some I don't. But what absolutely, positively must happen before growth can start? You have to be born, right? You have to be born. And you can't start growing until you're born. It's the same thing with a seed, same thing with a puppy, same thing with a human. You know, the seed can't grow, or the plant can't grow until the seeds sprout, right? You got to have a birth of sorts. So no one can grow unless he has been born. So how is a Christian born? Obedience to the gospel, baptism, right? That's how a Christian is born. Now, again, it doesn't matter what age you happen to be baptized in. Well, let me back up. I don't want to give the wrong impression. When we come to the age of accountability, right, whatever age that may be, and it's kind of a, some may be more accountable at some age than some may be more accountable at a different age, but whatever that age is. Now, I don't want to imply in any shape or form that we should baptize children. No. Okay. But once we reach that age of accountability, then we are to be born again, right? Okay, so what does John chapter 3, verse 3 tell us? Anybody know off the top of their head? Must be born again. What's the backdrop of that particular thing? Exactly. So who was Nicodemus? He was a very important ruler of the Jews, right? And he came to Jesus, and he had been exposed to some of the things that Jesus had done, and so he's explained to Nicodemus that you can't become a child of God, or you can't be unless you're born again. Nicodemus didn't understand, did he? Right. So what was Nicodemus's question to? Right. So in natural world, or in the physical world, we're born through our mother's womb, right? And we are through our mother, but we can't do that. I mean, it's a little baby, right? I mean, we're 6, 7, I've seen 10-pound babies, but in most cases, 7, 8, 9, 10-pound babies, right? That's how a child in the world is born. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. Nicodemus said, well, I can't go back into my mother's womb. I'm a grown person. I can't do that. And then he's told, you're only born, or you're born again spiritually through baptism. Through baptism. That's the only way. So we have to be born again. You know, it said, there's a story that goes that a man took interest in going to church. You know, and he attended faithfully, and he was there all the time. And everybody in the congregation thought he was a Christian, okay? But he said to himself, you know what? I'm testing my life, okay? And if I can live the Christian life, then I will become a Christian. So can you become a Christian that way? Of course not, right? You can't do it. It's not a trial and error kind of thing. Right? God says we have to be baptized in order to become a newborn baby in Christ and to begin our spiritual growth. So The only way to do it. We can't test it out. We can't try it. Okay? We can't be a Christian unless we're born again. Yes? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now there are, and again, I don't want to be talked down about anything or anybody, but there are a lot of good people in the world, yes? A lot of good people do a lot of good things out there. Help the sick, feed the poor, take care of people, all those kinds of things. But that doesn't make them a Christian. That does not make them a Christian. God's very specific in what he requires of us to become a Christian. Very specific. And unless we meet those qualifications, it don't matter how good and righteous or we think we are or what the world says that we are, we're not a Christian. Simple. And again, that's not Michael saying that. That's what God says. Comments. Okay. Another thing that I wrote for growth is freedom from disease. When we are growing up, right, as a child, most of us do that. And I know there's some in today's world, there's some yin yang about whether we should not give shots to children. But when our children are born, we want to make sure they're free from disease. Why? It can kill them, right? At the very least, it can stunt their growth, right? Do things to them to prevent them from becoming the grown-up that they're supposed to be. So we want to make sure, you know, we get all the polio, I guess. Do they still get polio shots? I don't know. Polio, we give all the whooping coughs and all those kinds of shots to make sure that our children don't get all those kinds of horrible things that would hurt them later on in life or prevent them from being the adult that we want them to be, right, and give us grandchildren. So what would we refer to as disease spiritually? Sin. Sin. We have to be free from sin in order to grow. Now, what kind of, you know, well, sin will, okay, I guess it's a very easy thing to say. Sin will kill spiritual growth, yes? What does Romans chapter 6, verse 23 say? Somebody find that. Wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. So if sin is a disease and we have that disease, what happens to us? We die. We die spiritually, right? We die spiritually. So what kind of diseases, spiritual diseases, will stunt our growth or cause us harm as a Christian? Anything? Okay, that kind of covers it all, you're right. I'm looking for a little more conversation. I guess I was looking for, and that's you're exactly right. I was looking things that we have to fight against every single day, or things we have to war against in our daily lives to keep that disease from attaching itself to us. Okay, yeah, that things like complacency, right? What is complacency? Anybody know? Yeah. Showing up, sitting down, leaving, no desire to do anything else extra. We're just complacent. Is that a disease or a sin against a Christian? Sure it is.
Jesus summarizes it in the Revelation chapter 3, that last congregation at Laodicea, lukewarm.
Lukewarm. And what did God do with that congregation? Or so God doesn't want, and I was, you know, someone questioned me one time when I told him, as I said, there is no gray area with God, is there? No, there is no kind of sortas, or there's no grace, there's no walking the line a little bit and having you toe go back and forth sometimes. There's no gray area. God says you're either for me or you're against me. And I had someone question me that one time, and then it just floored me. And who's supposed to have known, God, if you're not for God, then by definition, you're against him. And you can't explain it away any differently, period. You're either for him or you're against him. And a lot of times in the world today, we lull ourselves to sleep. We become very complacent in that we think, well, you know what? I'm going to church every day. I even sing. Don't sing well, but I sing. I do that. And if somebody asks me to pray, I'll go up front and I'll pray occasionally, and I'll wait on the Lord's table. Okay, is that all there is to Christianity? No. No, not at all. If that's the pinnacle of your Christianity, then might need to reassess. Because it's a whole lot more into it than that. What other kind of diseases can prevent us from growing? Peer pressure. Explain. Yes, there are. That's right. I agree. And then we're going to get into that hopefully here in just a second. I refer to that as our environment, right? Okay, what else? Anything? Yes. That's right. It can. Absolutely. And since we're there, we might as well just stay there. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good morals or good people. So the old country version of that, you can't sleep with a dog's not spell like them, right? You just can't. You can't surround yourself with people who aren't of like mind as your, and it's hard, I mean, I hate to say it, as your primary BFF, right? You can't do it, because what will happen to that? Sometimes, if your faith isn't strong enough, what can happen the other way? Or if your religion, if your Christianity isn't strong enough, they can affect you more than you can affect them, right? So you have to be on guard, really. You have to really be on guard to make sure you're the one doing the influencing, not the other way around. That's right.
Therefore, his language betrayed him. He betrayed Jesus. Right. But he surrounded himself with people that he should not have.
Right.
Instead of one of those people that he should
have. Right. Now, we have to be careful, don't we? Right? We have to be careful, don't we? We can't isolate ourselves, you know, circle the wagons and not let anybody in the door unless we know. And we got to make sure that we protect ourselves, because we don't want to hear any outside things going on. Why is that dangerous? Then you're not spreading the gospel, right? We're supposed to teach. And when we go out into the world to teach, what are we going to run into? The world. right? We're going to run into people who aren't like us. We're going to run into people who don't think like us or act like us or do anything like us. So we've got to be careful. We can't isolate ourselves. God is just as much as command it is to grow. The command is the same to teach. Did you have your hand up, somebody? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Well, we hope not anyway, right? And it can affect us, right? It can absolutely change our perspective on things that God expects us to believe. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Worship, how we worship in the church. What a worship is supposed to look like. All those kinds of things, that can affect us. And we start compromising because, you know what, they're my best friend, right? They're not going to tell me something wrong. Anything else? The people we choose to be with affects the type of person we can be, without a doubt. That's right. Absolutely.
And from that, I had a Bible study, and Neil Richard baptized someone with my grandma.
And that's the way it's supposed to be, right, Sam?
Right, yeah. So we have that life where we are.
Yeah.
You know, think about who you are in that circumstance.
Sure.
Positive peer pressure,
right? Instead of allowing, I said, you got to be careful. You can't allow, we're not supposed to isolate ourselves from people in the world. We've got to be the one doing the influencing. We've got to be the light. Versus someone else being using their light against us, right? Anything else? Okay. Another thing, and I think somebody mentioned this, was in order to grow, we have to have food, right? Very basic item to grow. Some of us grow a lot bigger than others, right? Unfortunately, but we all require food to survive, okay? And the verse that goes along with that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We've already read that verse. Is food a problem, in general, and I'm talking in the physical world, is food a problem around the world, would you say, as far as access to it? In a lot of places it is, isn't it? There's a lot of people who are starving to death out in the world. You know, you see, especially this time of year, you see all the commercials and all those things about telling you how bad it all, people are off, and it's true, right? So, and so what those commercials or those organizations ask for is for us to help out in giving whomever may need this food, right? Help them from, keep them from starving. And it's a good thing.
Especially if people are running away from war zone.
Exactly. Okay, so what about the spiritual world, though? What about spirituality? Are people starving? I would tell you they're probably starving more than they need for food.
And you know, I have studied what
That's right. That's right. That's right. So you mentioned that the Great Commission tells us we are, and again, is that a request, or is that an if you want to, or is that a command? It's a command. That's exactly right. It is a command for us to go teach. Okay, that is a command for us to give the world spiritual food. We are expected to do that. Now, how do we do that in our congregation? Just a couple of examples. Do we do that in our congregation?
Support missionaries.
Okay. We're the sole supporter. I don't know if I say sole. We're the number one supporter, I guess, of the work we have in Jabot, right? Is that feeding the world? Yeah. Yeah. What other ways do we do it here? Community Day? Flea market? Memphis School of Preaching. No, is it okay for us to help a young man, in most cases, become a gospel preacher so he can go out and supply food for someone? Absolutely.
And the money that the congregation just sent to the Johnsonville Rural Congregation in Nigeria, West Africa.
That's right. That's feeding the hungry. That's feeding spiritually those who are in need of food. And that is absolutely positively part of our charge from God. You know, a lot of times, and please don't take this the wrong way, but a lot of times we get real comfortable, right? We get complacent sometimes because we come in and we sit on our nice cushioned chairs or benches. We have a nice warm building, and it's really cold and rainy and foggy outside. And we give our money, and we say that the church is helping spread the gospel in Jabot, for instance, and we feel good about ourselves. And in some ways we should, but sometimes I think that's all we think we need to do too. Because are there people in your communities, people in your schools, people in your work, that need the gospel just as much as those people in Jabot do? Yeah. That's right. That's right. It is our responsibility, just as much our responsibility to support a mission work as it is to support the local work. Right? Anything else? Yes.
Sam brought up the point that we're commanded to teach them to observe all things. What that means is that when we teach them the gospel, those folks don't have to know everything from cover to cover inside the Bible. They simply need to know what Christ has done for them, that they are lost, and what is necessary for them to have their sins forgiven. We then need to teach them everything else, helping them to grow. They don't have to know everything to start with. They may not have a few things right.
Sure. That's exactly right.
Putting them in the water is the beginning of the journey to reach the end
That's the new birth, right? That's where birth starts, there.
And we can see that clear, Michael, Weber, Brian just said, on the day of Pentecost.
Sure.
By 41, they were baptized over 3,000. So what did they do? They didn't just go back home.
That's right.
42, they continued with the apostles.
That's right.
Learning and growing from their doctrine.
That's right.
And fellowship and prayer, all those things. I mean, we have that example right there.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I would agree. And sometimes we baptize them and we kind of leave them to their own, right? Yeah, that's a little dangerous. It's a little dangerous. Absolutely. That's when they probably need us more than any other time. That's right. Sure. Anything else? Okay, so someone mentioned it earlier, exercise. When it comes to exercise is something we need for growth, and we kind of know what it means physically, right? I mean, we have to do a lot of things to keep our bodies moving and active and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you're as I am, I know the people get jealous and all, but we do have to have exercise, right? What kind of exercise do we need or use as a Christian?
We practice what we have learned.
We practice.
James 1 said, don't just look at your face in the mirror and then forget, but be a doer.
Doer. That's all. We have to be active, right, Sam?
Right.
What else? Study, absolutely. That's the huge thing we need to do as a Christian. Is that considered exercising? I think it is, right? Study. Everybody should know it. What's the famous verse about study? Okay, and it says, "Study to show thyself approved." So if we never, in the physical world, if we never move our arms and we never move our legs and we just come a lump on a couch, what happens to us? I'm sorry? Use it or lose it. We just atrophy, right? We become a blob, right? And you eat bonbons and chips all day and you watch daytime television. Yeah, Mac, you had some? Exactly.
It's not just being sitting on the couch and feeling good about yourself.
Exactly.
You need to be doing something.
Absolutely. We all need to be working. Is Christianity a working thing or a passive thing? It's a working thing, right? We have to be working. I think God requires that of us. In order for us to be pleasing to Him, He requires it that we are an active working person or an active working Christian. All those things require doing something, right?
But He created us for good works in Christ Jesus, so He created us to work. Ephesians, I think, 2:10.
Yeah. Some things we do in a worship service. Are we exercising when we do in a worship service? We're actively worshiping God, right? Are we when we're singing? What are we doing? We're working. We're admonishing one another. We're teaching, right? That's when we're singing a song. When we're praying, when we're doing those just very basic, simple things, we're doing those things that keep us healthy, right? That's right. You know, and sadly, there are a lot of people who say, you know what, I really don't want to do that right now. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you asking, but I don't really know what to say, and I really don't know what to do, and I don't know how to be. And so I'm just going to kind of wait until I kind of learn. Can I watch you? Is that the right way to be? I tell you, no. Okay, get out and start doing it. You can be helped, or you can be taught. Okay, but to wait until you're ready, sometimes you feel like you're never ready. Exactly. He's never done it before, right? He was nervous, but he did great. You know what? And if he had dropped a plate of the juice, would anybody have chastised him? Not one time. Okay? We'd have patted him on the back. You did a good job. Okay, that's part of it. Somebody had their hand up. Yes. Okay. All right. So we have to exercise. Yes, got it. If things like that are provided, I think we ought to take advantage of it. I think we should. And I think God expects us to. And that's where exercise comes in, studying God's word, right? We have to prepare ourselves. Okay, are things going to try to attack the church? Are things going to try to attack us, or hurt us, or influence us? We have to be prepared for that. All right, real quick, I'm about done here. Does growing take time? Brian kind of alluded to that earlier, right? When you're baptized, do you have to know everything that's going on, and you have to know the inner workings of how the Holy Spirit affects your life when you're baptized initially? Probably not. Okay? Yeah. Now, do you need to kind of learn and study those things, those deeper, tougher subjects as time goes on? Absolutely. I think you should. But growth takes time. When we have children, we don't expect them to be adults from the time they're born, do we? No. It takes time for them. We have to nurture them and help them and keep the disease from them and all those kinds of things, right? We have to do the things that are necessary to help them grow the way they're supposed to grow. So growing does take time. We can't expect someone to be a 35-year Christian what after they get up out of the water. Okay? Now, if something happens, you know, and they may make a mistake, then we admonish them like we should as a brother, right? Galatians 6. Sure. I would agree with that to a point. I think after a certain amount of time, though, we should show some semblance of growth. But I look at it this way. If I'm in the same spot I'm in, and I think Dustin's alluded to this, if I'm in the same spot I'm in now, or this time next year, I should be up a little bit. I'll grant you that one. I'll grant you that. Granted. I would agree. It's difficult. There's no checklist saying 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year. There's no checklist for that. But I do think we should be progressing as a Christian. I think God expects that of us. Okay, we're here. All right. Anything else before I missed a couple of things? But that's okay. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.